Okay, Alexander, we've got results for the elections in Germany. And as I was watching this story, as I was following it in the nighttime, it was just like a dead tie between the SPD and the CDU. But as I woke up in the morning, the SPD pulled ahead. Not by much, but they pulled ahead. And we got a new man in town, a new figure in town who is going to be trying to form a government, and that is Mr. Scholz. So Mr. Scholz of the SPD is now saying that he has a mandate to build a coalition. The CDU collapsed. That's how they're seeing it as well, especially the conservative wing of Merkel's CDU. They're saying this was just, and I quote, a debacle for them. But coalition, a lot of people are talking about what type of coalition this could be. And a lot of people are saying this is a victory for the left in Germany as well. We could be seeing the SPD with the Greens, with the FDP, with the FDP. There could be a lot of different forms that a coalition could take. There could be a lot of ways that a coalition could form here. But it is now the SPD that is in the driver's seat. What do you make of these results?
Right. Well, first of all, I'm going to make one very obvious and straightforward observation, which I think is the first point to say, which is that Angela Merkel is still Chancellor of Germany, and she's going to remain Chancellor of Germany for several weeks, possibly months more, because constructing a coalition out of this material is going to be incredibly difficult. I predict we're probably going to see Merkel still Chancellor around Christmas, possibly into January, and I think that there is a fair possibility that we could see new elections in Germany very soon. Because what has happened is obviously there's been a collapse of the CDU, which is entirely a product of 16 years of Merkelism. I mean, it has lost its political definition. It's become a kind of centre-left party itself. That means that conservative voters have basically stayed away from it. But I don't accept that this is a swing to the left in Germany. If we look at the parties of the left in Germany, they're basically three. There is the SPD itself, which is a centre-left party. It is essentially identical to the CDU, because the CDU, which used to be a right of centre party, has now, under Merkel, also become a left of centre party. So we have two left of centre parties at the centre, the CDU and the SPD. It's actually extremely difficult to tell, in policy terms, the difference between the one or the other. So there's the SPD, which is, let's call it the traditional centre-left party. There is the Green Party, which is a very weird party. In some ways, it's left-wing. In other ways, it's deeply Euro-Atlanticist. It is essentially the party that forms today the EU fan club. It is viscerally anti-Russia. It is left-wing in the same way that Hillary Clinton is left-wing. I mean, it's the Hillary Clinton
like
wing.
Left-wing neocon.
It's a left-wing neocon, exactly. That's what it's become. I mean, parts of its base are different, but, you know, ultimately the leadership is entirely that way. And then there's the Die Linke Party, which is the former East German Communist Party. That has suffered a significant defeat in this election. And as things stand, I'm not sure that it's even in the Bundestag. It's fallen to 5% or less. So, you know, it seems to me that all that's happened is that the left has now coalesced around the SPD. The Greens didn't do particularly well. In fact, they did a lot worse than everybody had been expecting at the start of that campaign. So we have 25% SPD, 15% Greens. That's not a very strong endorsement for the left in Germany. I don't really see that German opinion has moved very, very much to the left at all, especially with Die Linke dropping out of the picture. On the right, what we have seen is a movement, increasing movement, from the CDU, CSU, to the FDP, which is a liberal party, but it's also a free market party. It's the party of business. It's also got historically close connections, by the way, to the Bundeswehr, the German army. In fact, people don't know very well, but it's the case. It is a fiscally conservative, somewhat right-wing party, not right-wing in the sense that, you know, the CDU used to be. It's previously, historically, been in coalitions with the SPD, the Socialist Social Democrats. But I would hesitate to call it a party that most Germans would see as left-wing. And, of course, lastly, there's the AfD, which I think has actually held on to its positions surprisingly well, given that all the activity, all the movement in this election has been focused on the centre. But of course, as far as Germans are concerned, it's, or at least German establishment is concerned, it's beyond the pale. So what has happened is that Angela Merkel remains Chancellor. She remains Chancellor for the foreseeable future. Mr. Scholz will be invited to create the new government. He is not a new man on the block at all. He's been around in German politics for years. He has been one of Merkel's most loyal supporters. I mean, there is, as I said, very little real difference in political views between him and Merkel at all. He's going to have a nightmare putting a coalition together because the Greens and the FDP detest each other and have very different policies on all sorts of things. It's far from certain that there will be a new coalition led by the SPD and by Mr. Scholz. If it does emerge, it will be weak and unstable. And, of course, that means a weak government in Germany, a government with very little coherence, more Merkelism going forward, because that's the only real game in town, it seems to me, as far as the German establishment is concerned. All alternatives, either to the left or to the right, be it from Die Linke or the AfD, are being pushed to a side, and Germany is just going to continue to drift in exactly the way it has. Merkel will remain Chancellor, and the talk is, for the time being, and the talk is that when she is finally replaced by a new Chancellor, who will probably be Mr. Scholz, she's on the way to becoming President of the European Council in replacement to Charles Michel. So, you know, Merkel is far from out of the picture. She's going to continue. Germany is exactly stuck exactly where it was. Europe is stuck exactly where it was, and an unstable government in Germany.
Yeah. No, Scholz is a new face for all of us. Oh, for the German people, it's a very familiar face.
Absolutely.
But for all of us, it's a new face, and we're going to see what he does. Merkel is either going to be in the EU, Alexander, or she's going to get a deal with Netflix to produce TV shows.
Absolutely. But I mean, you know, the talk about her becoming president of the EU Council, in other words, president of the European Union, is now gaining a lot of traction. And that does seem to be the job she's angling for. So, you know, it's the logical one.
It's a perfect fit.
It's the perfect fit. She'll just continue. She'll just, you know, move up the layer. I mean, why become president of Germany when you can be president of Europe? I mean, that's what ultimately is going to happen, I suspect. I mean, you know, give it a couple of years, because Charles Michel has to, you know, see his turn through. But, you know, the next appointments, you know, Angela, Angie will be back. Mutti will be back, keeping things exactly as they are. So stagnation in Germany, immobilism in Germany, a weak government in Germany, a government that's not going to make any substantive changes to anything, and which will drift along much as it always has. Broken system in Germany, because that's what we've really got. And no real challenge to the EU combine either. And of course, Macron on the margins is sniffing his opportunities. And he's saying to himself, well, with chaos in Berlin, this is my moment.
Yeah, well, Merkel's just going to pack up her stuff in a box and move to a better office, I guess.
Yeah.
Nothing's going to change at all. Let's go to some of the numbers, because you mentioned the percentages, and the percentages are interesting. But a lot of analysts are now trying to figure out how the seats are going to be allocated in relation to 2017, to the results there, the plus or minuses. Let me just read you some of those forecasts. And we're looking right now at the SPD, which, if things hold the way they are, we're going to have plus 53 seats, around plus 53 seats. So they have a net gain of 53 seats. The CDU is going to lose 49 seats. The Greens, even though the Greens were slated to win everything, this is why they had a very poor showing. They were slated to win everything, but they will come out with about a plus 51 seat gain. The FDP will be plus 12, and the AfD will actually be minus 11. Die Linke, complete collapse, minus 30 from 39 to 30 to minus 30. So yeah, they had a collapse. Yes. What does this tell you about the possibilities of forming some coalition, Alexander?
Yeah, I think it's going to be an absolute nightmare. As I said, I mean, the only game in town. Well, there are only two options. One is SPD, Greens, and the FDP. I mean, that's the one that people are talking about. But of course, bear in mind the FDP and the Greens are, on the face of it, incompatible parties. So they're going to have enormous problems. I mean, the Greens have an enormously ambitious programs for, you know, spending vast amounts of money in Germany. And, of course, they are the extreme integrationist party. I mean, they want Germany to become completely submerged in the EU. They want they are openly supporters for the EU superstate. Now, that didn't do very well. That wasn't a popular policy in Germany. When people saw that in Germany, they didn't like it. And as a result, they didn't do especially well in this election, which at one point in time, they'd been widely expected to win. I mean, it's a fact people forget, but if you go back a couple of months, it was the Greens who were supposed to be on the march and who were going to win the election. But people looked at it and they didn't like it and they didn't vote for it. And as a result, the SPD, in my opinion, won over an awful lot of people who might otherwise have voted Green. So, I mean, so that's going to be a very difficult coalition to put together. But the alternative, which is a CDU, Green, FDP kind of coalition, is going to be even more difficult because the CDU has clearly lost support. I mean, it's crashed to its worst ever result in its history. It's got a leader, Armin Laschet, that nobody has any respect for or considers to be at all effective. So, I mean, its credibility is busted. Without Merkel, it's clearly nowhere. I mean, Merkel has, in effect, destroyed it. So, I mean, it's barely possible to see the CDU forming a government, even though the FDP would clearly prefer to be in coalition with the CDU than it would be to be in coalition with the SDP. So it's going to be very difficult to form any kind of coalition out of all of this. I mean, the most obvious solution, the one that one could see the German establishment perhaps coming round to at some point, is a CDU-SPD grand coalition again. I mean, everybody is ruling that out. Everybody says that's not going to happen. But personally, I wouldn't be at all surprised if it does, because it seems to me to be the most simple and logical solution to this problem if you're going to avoid new elections, in which case, of course, you're just going to get Merkel's grand coalition reconfiguring itself, the SPD a little stronger, the CDU a lot weaker, but it's essentially going to be more of the same. And that's, of course, what a lot of people in the German establishment want. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's the eventual outcome here.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about just the grand coalition between CDU and CSU. Many people are calling that the black-red grand coalition, what you described, because AfD has been frozen out. So what you described, yeah, Alexander, is what many analysts are saying, the choice between a traffic light and Jamaica. In other words, the traffic light colors of the SPD, the red, the Green Party, the green, and the yellow, the yellow-orange of the FDP, that would be the traffic light coalition. or the Jamaica Coalition, which is the flags of Jamaica, which would be the CDU, the black CDU, the yellow FDP, and the green. That's basically what everybody is kicking around. But when you look at it, because the AfD has been frozen out and, you know, they can't participate because they're, you know, they are what they are, according to the mainstream media. You look at a grand coalition at the end of the day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, of course, there is an alternative, and let's talk about the AfD. And there is an alternative. It's a theoretical alternative. It's not going to happen because, of course, the German establishment won't allow it. But if you wanted, you talked about Germany swinging to the left. There is, in fact, a majority coalition in Germany on the right. And that would be a coalition bringing together the CDU, CSU, the AfD, and the FDP. That would actually be the most coherent government. That would be the government that would make the greatest ideological and sense and coherence. If, of course, you made the mistake of thinking that the CDU is a conservative party. But of course, the CDU isn't any longer. It's a conservative party in any meaningful sense. It's a leftist centre party. It's an establishment party. It is a part of the EU establishment. It pretends to be a conservative party, but actually it isn't. There is a conservative right wing within the CDU, which might, in theory, be open to a coalition with the AfD and the FDP. But of course, we know that isn't going to happen. So that's the reality of it. So, I mean, it's not, in my opinion, any sort of victory by the left in Germany. I mean, this is a complete misunderstanding of the way in which elections have taken place. What we have instead is a chaotic picture because, firstly, of the way in which Merkel, in her 16 years, has completely distorted the CDU brand. She's turned it from a right-of-centre party into a left-of-centre party. And, in fact, essentially a centrist party, and also because of the way in which the German elite, the political class, can only conceive of politics from the centre. It won't allow anything from beyond the centre to intrude. And it must be said, and this is an important point, in doing so, it has an awful lot of support from many, many Germans. And this isn't just people, you know, who are centrists themselves. One senses that an awful lot of older Germans, and this is an ageing society, you know, it's not reproducing itself. Birth rates in Germany are very low. And so that means that the sort of the pensioner vote is growing. What they are fixed on is stability. And the stability translates increasingly into Merkelism and immobilism. And this is very bad for Germany. It's very bad for Europe. It's very bad, ultimately, for pretty much everybody. But it is the reality in Germany today.
Yeah. They've been handcuffed by the media because it shows the power of the media. They're not allowed to even approach AfD. So they've been handcuffed into even considering some sort of conservative right coalition. The minute you take AfD off the table, you don't really have the ingredients to create that conservative right coalition. That speaks to the power of ideology and the media right there. And that's why you're stuck in this chaos and this never-ending Merkelism, as you say. It's you're not afforded the opportunity.
No.
And it's an illusion. You could if you wanted to, but if you did, you know the media is just going to jump on you and that's going to be that. So you can't even consider a conservative right type of government at this point in Germany.
Absolutely. That, I suspect, is what most Germans at this moment in time would prefer. And that's the reality of it. Now, I mean, there are two observations to make. The first is about the AfD itself. You're absolutely right. Ideology has played a vast role. The media has played a vast role in all of this. But one has to say also that the AfD has itself made mistakes. It's been fractious. It's not been united. But, you know, ultimately, your underlying point is the right one. The second point, and it goes directly to the one you've just made, is to refer to something that that great German statesman, Germany's longest ever serving chancellor, the person who understood politics better than anyone else in German history, has made, and that was Otto von Bismarck. And he was once told, well, you can't do this, you can't do that, absolutely out of the question that you should, you know, make these kind of deals with those sort of people. And he said, in politics, I play with all 64 squares on the chessboard. That's what you do in politics. But in Germany, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to play with all 64 squares on the chessboard. You have to cut out at least a tenth of them because they're held by the AfD. So that reduces your maneuver space. Now, of course, if the AfD really was the existential threat to German democracy that people say it is, well, that might be, I suppose, sort of justified. But that is an absurd claim. And as you said, it's an illusory one. It's a fantasy that people have created. And its consequence is exactly what you said. We're stuck with Merkelism. We're stuck with immobilism. Except, of course, that the centre that is constantly in control is becoming more disorganised and weaker all the time because it can't really cohere. It has no real point around which it's able to crystallise.
Yeah. All right. Let's see what happens and what forms as far as a government. Traffic light, Jamaica, black and red. We'll see. We'll see what they come up with. Or just more Merkel. Just more Merkel.
Well, it could very well be. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if in a year, I mean, I don't expect this, but if Merkel is still chancellor a year from now, I would not be astonished. Because she's the only person, ultimately, who really understands the system, which she's played such a huge role in creating.
Yeah. Okay, we'll leave it there. Go to theduran.locals.com, everybody. You'll find the link down below. Go to our new media platforms, Odyssey, BitChute, Rumble, and Super U. And please go to the Durant shop. Pick up some merchandise, 10% off. Use the code REALNEWS. Take care.